reached the end of this mini series concluding this idea and teaching on divorce from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Now, if you have missed the last 2 weeks, we have looked at God's theology on divorce and remarriage. We have looked at the nation of Israel and their flippant use of divorce and remarriage. And we use the Bible to apply what God's heart is. What is God's heart for those who have been divorced, those who are seeking divorce, and those who are really happily married? We saw that in that study that those who have been divorced, God offers unlimited forgiveness. And he offers a new continuing will for your life. Please go back on our website and watch those services, listen to those. For those who are seeking divorce, we saw how if you have a soft heart, God can bring about healing and restoration and fulfillment to the marriage relationship. We also warned how, according to Jesus, a hard heart is what causes all the trouble. So if you have a hard heart towards God's truth, well, that is actually a bigger problem than your marital woes. And I cannot say that strongly enough. If your heart is hardened to obeying God's word, then that really is your problem, not your marriage. We also spoke to the marrieds, saying that positive input and continued focus and attention to your marriage is essential. And that brings us to tonight, our last group. We need to talk to the singles. We need to talk to those who are single and seeking to be married. Not the singles and don't want to be married. Those who are single and seeking to be married someday. I know that was certainly a group I was in. I remember praying against the second coming of Christ before I would be married. I said, Lord, I want to get married. Don't come back before then. I really like that to happen. And he honored that. So I'm sure there are others in the room who have prayed the same way. It is to this group that we will study tonight how to avoid the potholes that trip up so many. And how do we enter into a marriage that will go the distance with successful oneness, as Jesus talks about. The two will become one. So grab your Bibles and your outlines and your pens, because we have a lot to cover. And that is because the Bible gives us lots of help in this area. It will center around the how we make our choice. That is the how we go about finding Mr. or Mrs. Right, and what the biblical process is for finding someone. So we'll do the how, and we will focus on who. The who I should ultimately choose. Who is it that I should ultimately choose to enter into oneness with? Now, friends, we can really group our whole process tonight into three categories. And they are spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and physical. That's where we're headed. Now, what is of the utmost importance, though, is the sequence of the search. I cannot stress this enough. It is not the process or the content in people's search that trips them up. It is more the time that trips them up. It is the sequence of the search process that must be done right, or it will submarine you. So listen carefully, take notes, because if followed properly, if followed the proper sequence, you will be able to choose wisely. You will be able to gain a life and a marriage that you have dreamed about. So here we go to the unmarried. Unmarried, you are going to meet prospects. You are going to meet prospects all the time. And your mission is to choose wisely. But how do I do that? How do I meet someone and determine if they are the one that God has for me? Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with the darkness? Yet another translation of the same verse. It says, do not be mismatched. Do not be mismatched with unbelievers. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? Gang, the first, and I repeat, the first evaluation you must make when you meet someone is, where is that person spiritually? God tells us we must not be mismatched with someone spiritually. He tells us this because oneness between the two people coming together as one, it will not work if the two are not on the same plan spiritually. That means that a follower of God must be bonded together with another follower of God. If you meet someone, and they are not a born-again, baptized, God-focused believer, then you are seeing a sign that says, stop, bridge out, turn around. If you meet someone and they are not a born-again, baptized, God-focused believer, then God is holding that road sign over his head and he is pushing it right in your face. And he is saying, stop, this bridge is out, man. Turn around. That wonderful person you met needs God, not you. God put this in the Bible for a reason. He knows what happens when God followers connect with non-God followers. He commands Israel continually in the Old Testament to not intermarry with people holding opposing beliefs. Opposing, I say. You cannot have one person serving God and the other person serving God's opponent. There's only two teams. And Jesus said so in Matthew 12, verse 30. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. Now, gang, I believe that this warning not to be mismatched, I believe it goes even deeper than simply Christians not dating non-Christians, Christians not dating unbelievers or marrying unbelievers. You see, since we connected with God and we handed God our life, God is everything to us. And we want someone who feels the same way as we do. We want someone who hungers for God. Someone with the same zeal for God, a zeal that matches our hunger and our zeal for God. So when we meet someone, we need to take the time to do the investigative work of finding out where they stand with God. And we can do that by asking questions. Questions like, who has this person been spiritually to this point? Who have they been to this point? That's important because, gang, many have great intentions of following God. Many have great intentions of reading their Bible every day. Many have great intentions of attending church regularly. Great intentions of rising up into Christian leadership. Great intentions of getting that sin out of their life. Great intentions of cleaning up their act and changing. But who have they been to this point? My friend Scott used to say, if it looks like a duck, if it sounds like a duck and it walks like a duck, then it's a duck, even if it wants to be a swan. How long have they been following God? Unmarrieds, before we even think of someone as a potential candidate to pursue, we need to find out who they are spiritually. And here's another thing. Don't just ask them. that, huh, Mr. Gray? Don't just ask them. Don't think you're going to receive a complete and full disclosure of the truth from them. Ask people they know. Ask people who know them. Ask about their past. Ask the people that they've dated. Ask how those past relationships went. And ask how God-centered those relationships were, or how God-centered those relationships weren't. You are trying to determine who this person is spiritually. How much fruit of the Spirit have they grown in their life before they met you? Soldiers, singles, looking to be married, read between the lines as this person shares their life story with you and conclude, how involved is God in this person's thought process? Do they seek God's will in life choices? Do they ask God? And do they follow that will? Or do they make whatever decisions they want? Do they have a life plan that they dreamed up on their own? And do they get in line with God's navigation for their life? Or do they bolt God onto their existing existence and expect God to get in sync with the shots that they're calling for themselves? Gang, the life a person has lived up to the point you met them will scream out their spiritual wisdom and their discernment. And you must ask about that. Are they wise? Are they discerning? When this person speaks, do you value the words? Do you value the stories that they say? Do those things motivate and inspire you? Or do you cringe with awkwardness and embarrassment with what is coming out of that person's mouth? It is very easy to determine if someone is speaking out of a God-centered, God-led heart, or if they are talking out of a heart that is immature spiritually. Gang, we must think ahead and not think short term. You're not choosing a pair of Nikes. You're choosing a spouse. And that has serious obligations that will be expected of you. Ephesians 5:33 tells us, so I say again, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. And he must, and the wife must respect her husband. Again, this really shows us how important our search is and how carefully we should treat our choice. For the ladies, you know what that verse just said? It said that the person you choose is the person you must highly esteem. The man you choose, girls, is the man you are assertively selecting to be your spiritual leader. You are choosing that person to be your family's spiritual leader. You are dogmatically asserting that this man's hands are the hands you are putting your life and your children's lives in. He is your choice as your household spiritual leader. He is the one that you will tell the world, I'm following him. Now, men, in the same way, this verse, it reminds you that the person you are choosing is the person you are willing to lay aside all your hopes and dreams and aspirations for. That's what you're doing when you love her like Christ loved the church. Christ didn't just want the best for her at his own expense. Christ died for the church. This woman that you're choosing, she is the one that you will want the best for at your own expense. You must believe and value her dreams. You must believe and value her desires so highly that you will give up your own life to bring her dreams, her desires into fruition over your own, even God-given hopes, dreams, and expectations. Can you see now why it is imperative to spiritually know who someone is, and that that must be step one in choosing wisely? Can you see why knowing where they have been spiritually is the first and foremost evaluation we must make in choosing wisely? Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. Don't be mismatched. Now, if you are confident and you get a green light that spiritually, then you move on to the second area, the intellectual / emotional evaluation. In this area, you can find your answers by asking questions. The first big question I would recommend you to ask is, who are they comfortable with and who are they not comfortable with? This is John Eldridge's material, not mine. I love it, though. The Bible warns us in Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and you'll get in trouble. King David made it clear who he chose as his companions. Psalm 119, verse 63. I am a friend to anyone who fears you, God. Anyone who obeys your commandments. You see, friends, we can learn a lot of information about someone by simply looking at who they are comfortable with and also who are the people they are uncomfortable around. Back that up with a second question. Where are they comfortable and where are they not comfortable? If someone is comfortable on the Appalachian Trail and you love the woods, you're going in the right direction. If someone is comfortable in honky-tonk bars and you are not comfortable around that scene, then that's a big red flag. As a follower of God, ask, is this person comfortable at church? Are they comfortable and do they crave small groups? Are they comfortable going on church outings and going to church conferences? Are they comfortable doing ministry, serving God? Do they gladly run to work at the church's fair booth? And do they do it happily? Or are they uncomfortable around any of those things? Our minds must ask the questions and we must get the right answers. But our evaluation of their intellect and their emotions must go deeper than that. Ask, what are this person's hopes and dreams? And are those viable? Are those viable hopes and dreams? Because if you meet someone and they are studying a 4-year degree in parapsychology, that is the study of ghosts and ghost hunting, I would run from that person. If you are, and that's a real major, by the way. Here's another one. If you are studying someone who is in the real major of golf management, I probably would ask more questions. If you are someone who is into this degree, the science of Harry Potter, oh, the boy who lived. If that's what they're into, I'm not seeing that as a viable hope and dream. And the last one, this one comes from down under, surfing studies. I remember saying once to a girl, it doesn't matter if I mop floors at the Beefy Burger. It doesn't matter if I do that or if I am the best accountant at the Federal Reserve Bank. Who a person is not determined by their work. And she said, that's true, but it tells you a lot about a person. Ouch. Gang, your mind must ask questions like, how does this person handle stress? How does this person deal with disappointment in their life? And who is this person when they're under pressure? What is their emotional intelligence? One of my favorite things that my wife, Miss Kelly, had on her husband list, she had a husband list, which you have in your hands now. You have a husband list. I gave it to you. So you can add your stuff to it. But Miss Kelly had on her list that she kept in her sock drawer, and she told me about it. She says, I want a man who can handle things. And I wasn't sure exactly what that meant at first. Does she mean handle a gun? A rope? No, she didn't mean those things. She says, I want a man who, when things happen, they can handle it without being crazy, without being a lunatic, without flying off the handle, without being someone I wouldn't want to be in the car with. I want someone who can handle things. Brilliant girl. That's why I married her. Friends, ask questions like, how does this person treat others? Especially, how do they treat the ones they are the most comfortable with? Because if they treat the ones that they are the most comfortable with poorly, and you're looking to be one of their loved ones, it's pretty clear that's how you're going to be treated later. What a gift when you find someone who knows how to treat others well. I was at a Octane meeting recently. That's our college and career group. And we were talking, kicking around ideas, trying to identify emerging leaders in our group. And we were just identifying people, and then one of the people in the group said, you know, that person that we're talking about, you know what? I have never, ever heard that person say an unkind word about anyone. I've never heard that person say an unkind word about anyone. And believe me, they've had plenty of opportunity, and they've had plenty of reason to say something unkind. But they never have done that. Not a single unkind word out of that person. That's what you're looking for. That's something you got to identify when you look at the emotional / intellectual. Gang, your mind must ask these questions, and you must get the right answers back. If you need to, write down the fruits of the Spirit. Write them down, and then assign, grade your person on where they're at. How are they with their love? How are they with their joy? How is their peace, their countenance? How is their patience, kindness, goodness? Are they a good person? How about this one, fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. Where do they rate when it comes to gentleness, faithfulness, and how about their self-control? Assign them a number, 1 to 10. I know no one's perfect, but I can assure you, I can tell you right now that if you come to me for premarital counseling and you come to me with a person who's a zero, you're not getting past premarital counseling with Pastor Drew. I'm not marrying you to a zero, okay? A one probably ain't getting through either. How can a single person avoid divorce? How can a single person who wants to be married find oneness and find God's design in marriage? The first thing you have to do is determine who a person is spiritually. That's the first thing you look at. Next, you evaluate a person intellectually, and you evaluate them emotionally. Now, if a person is appearing to be someone you are equally in tune with, we need to consider our last section, our passions, the physical desires that God wired us up with. Physically. The main thing I want to point out here is this. Don't get this wrong. Rewind this when you're watching online and keep going over it. Our passions are often more powerful than we can handle. Friends, nothing feels more right than having our physical side met. And I'm talking about small things. I'm not talking about the big things. Holding hands feels great. If you don't believe me, hold Miss Kelly's hand. It feels great. When you're holding someone's hand, it screams, "This is wonderful." Sitting close and holding someone is so powerful. As a matter of fact, it is so powerful that it will supersede everything we have talked about in the past 20 minutes. That's how powerful the physical is. When holding and touching and kissing progress, believe me, our passions will care very little about where a person's at spiritually. When these things progress, our passions will care very little about, I don't care who their friends are. I don't care how they treated their last boyfriend or girlfriend. That's how powerful our passions are. So the main question we need to ask as far as our physical component is this. Is this person willing to not push me to my passions? Is this person willing to keep me safely away from passions that I can't handle yet? Is this person introducing me to powerful passions that are so addicting that many have walked down the aisle with the wrong person because they're having their desires and their aching needs met? If you are indulging in the physical, I would warn you, beware of this siren song, because it is a major pothole in the road just ahead. Now, gang, here's what really blows my mind on the whole idea of finding someone. Here's what blows my mind. The process today that people use is turn the whole thing we've just talked about upside down. The process today is to choose someone on physical attributes first, right? That's where they go first. The first thing they look for. Are they cute? Are they pretty? Do they have muscles? Do they have curves? Are they attractive? Are they handsome? Are they hot? Are they not? Forget if they have a brain in their head. Forget making wise choices in their life. Forget if they use discernment with the words and the actions of their life. If they have a cross around their neck, they're Christian enough for me. If they're a babe, if they're a hunk, green light, full steam ahead. Why? I'm running on the physical. Wrong. But then as the physical part progresses for people who do this, as the physical part of the relationship ramps up and time goes by, they get to know each other better, don't they? And they discover. They head into the intellectual. They head into the emotional side of the person. And they start to see a very unsettling emotional intelligence. Someone who does not act emotionally in a smart way. They start to see the misalignment of their intellects. They start to see conflicting ideas of Jesus and contradictory beliefs of God's plan for their lives and mismatched love and desire for Jesus and God's kingdom. Singles, that upside down plan of choosing a mate by physical first, emotional and intellectual next, and then lastly, the last consideration, spiritually, that plan of going that route has resulted in a divorce rate of over 50%. But fret not. You're here tonight. You have that monster outline in your hand. God has given us help in this area, and we can live it. We can do this. First, learn who someone is spiritually. Then, take the time from a distance. Take the time from a distance. Do it inside a friendship, not a relationship. and get to know who someone is intellectually. Get to know how they respond emotionally, and get to know who they are spiritually. Do not race into an exclusive relationship. And above all else, always, always, always keep the unbridled horsepower of passion and physical desires away from clouding your thought process and messing up your evaluation process. Save any kind of touching till you have fully made your selection and you're on your way to come see me right here. If you need help with this, come and see me, men. And ladies, come and see Miss Kelly. We're here. We will help you with this as best we can and try to make sure that you are not someone who's single, longing to be married, who is going to one day wind up with the wrong person. I'm going to ask the worship leaders to come back as we close out our night. Take the time now. If you're single and you're looking for somebody, first of all, pray for yourself. Pray that God would keep you strong. Pray that God would give you so much power in the Holy Spirit that you actually look and evaluate who someone is spiritually, then emotionally, intellectually, and lastly, keep this physical under check. But then maybe as we're singing, pray for that person who's out there. Maybe it's someone who's going to walk into a church tonight or someone who's walking to church tomorrow morning saying, I hope I find that Miss Wright or Mr. Wright. Pray for them, that God would keep them strong. And as for the rest of us, who we've already covered in the previous weeks, let's pray. This generation does it differently than the ones before. Would you stand? Lord, I pray for each one in this room. Lord, each of us desire to be loved. Each of us have opportunity. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to engage your heart. First and foremost, Lord, I pray that you would give us soft hearts, that we would avoid the pitfall that Jesus put his finger on and said it was because of the hard hearts. That's where the problems came in. Give us soft hearts, Lord, to listen to you, to obey you, and to do what you call us to. And Lord, make us as wise as serpents, that we would evaluate well, and that we would choose wisely, and that through the power of your Holy Spirit, we would have the self-control that we need to walk through an evaluation process that will lead us to who you want us to have. Lord, when the world tries to scream at us to do things upside down, help us to shake our heads and walk away, knowing that we trust the way, the truth, and the life, not whatever we have going on down here. Now, Lord, keep us safe as we travel through the weekdays. Be with us tomorrow as we honor you and people scream to the world that they are yours and they want them to know it and they thank you for what they've done. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Have a great night.